This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up later in the show, we'll hear about a graphic novel that's based on the Metropolitan Sewer District. First, after years of planning and fundraising, Clifton Market is now open. The cooperative market replaces an IGA that was abandoned for 6 years. It opened to customers last week and had its grand opening this weekend. And here to talk about the market and how the co-ops are run are Clifton Market Produce Manager Chris Payne, Chair of the Clifton Market Board and Vice President of the Clifton Business and Professional Association, Adam Hyland, Director of Marketing and Board Member for Clifton Market, Marilyn Hyland, and nationally renowned grocery market analyst Keith Wicks. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Keith, Adam, Marilyn, and Chris, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Marilyn and Adam, you have to be, I guess, breathing a big sigh of relief at this point that this is finally open.
Oh, we're ecstatic. We're ecstatic. It's music to my eyes to see everybody in the store buying groceries and having fun.
Yeah, now, you say it took 3 years
yes.
to do this. Is that, when you're developing a co-op market like this, is 3 years typical?
No, not at all. We've been told between 5 and 7 is the average for most startup co-op grocery stores in the country. So we more than cut that in half at this point for the 7 years. We were actually noted as the fastest growing startup grocery store in the country at some of the co-op conferences we attended.
Mm-hmm. Keith, what do we mean when we talk about a co-op store? What's the definition of that?
Well, the co-op store is a community investment, so it's a community effort. The positive about that, obviously, is that there's a membership involved for those that want to become members, but it's yet open to the entire public. And for that, the basis of a co-op store has been the natural and organic model. But in this case, we've gone more of a hybrid to optimize this store service to a broader scope of consumers in the market. So we've got a combination of conventional product along with the natural and organic, and it's a co-op model, but a hybrid co-op model that the industry is looking at because they find that what we're proving is that it's a more successful model to take to market. And I believe what I observed this last weekend had the treat of coming to the grand opening, is that that's certainly the case. We're on track for very good performance. Despite the opening jitters, you know, you always have your beginning start and there's some refinement to go through. But the response has been fantastic, and I'm quite sure we're going to meet our numbers and probably beat them. So I'm, like Marilyn mentioned, ecstatic about this.
Chris, what was the opening weekend like? Describe it to me.
It was incredible. Well, when they opened the front doors,
a week ago Sunday,
yeah.
Sneak peek.
Right, because it was this previous weekend that was your grand opening weekend, right?
Gala festivities.
Now, okay. I've done a few openings with other stores before. This isn't my first opening, but none of them have ever been this impactful to me. I really, really had a good time doing it. Then they opened the front doors. It was a floodgate open, man. It was so many people coming in. And like we said, we talked about earlier today, the lines were going around the corner. And it wasn't for people not doing their job. They were doing it. The front end was doing a superb 100% just job. They were doing so well. And I'm so proud of what they did. They dealt with these lines, and everybody in the store did. It was,
yes.
It was everybody. Everybody pitched in.
Yeah, and the great thing is, you know, we talked to people in the lines and said, you know, we're moving you through. And they said, no, you know what? We're happy to be here. They were happy to just to stand in line and soak in the store at that point. And, you know,
with their basket full of groceries.
Yeah, we literally had, you know, lines in the store back to the back of the store. Of course, now, you know, the lines are 1-2 people long on average, right, on a normal day. But the opening day was fantastic.
Yeah, but they were hugging, and people were neighbors and friends and people hadn't seen each other in a while were all like, oh, it's so good to see you. And it was really fun to see that.
Every person was a high sign or a hug. It was just incredible. And we, at noon, we got our occupancy papers on Friday afternoon a week ago. So we said we're going to do a sneak peek Sunday because there's pent up demand, you know, people. And so we sent out an email to the 1,500 share owners, and I sent out a press release. And so we were going to do the opening the doors ceremony. And I looked out the door at about 10 of 12, and it was supposed to be at noon. And I saw about 20 people, and we had the four TV stations ready to go. And we went outside. Adam was going to pull one door, and Keith Brock, our general manager, was going to pull the other. And all these people converged. There were people everywhere.
Were you surprised, Marilyn? Or did you say I kind of expected it to be like this? Or
I expected it, but the intensity of it was phenomenal. That was just incredible. Yeah. And everybody in the grocery business was saying, you know, like Laurel, our supplier, Gary Crawford's the VP of Laurel. He said, I've never seen anything like this. One after another, they'd said, I'd never seen anything like it. And we were all just ecstatic.
I stood at the door for 4.5 hours shaking people's hands. I was going to do it for about, 20, 30 minutes, and the stream never slowed down. And, I just wanted to welcome everybody that was walking in. And it just – people were so enthusiastic and excited about coming in the store. My hand was dead at the end of the 4 hours.
Yeah, I shook hands inside. I was the second string there. So but everybody was a hug. I mean, it was incredible. And that really, that's what we want. The store, it's your real neighborhood grocery store. It's the social space as well as a hearth.
Keith, was this a really exceptional start based on what you've seen?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, this. Keep in mind that they opened the doors without any ads launched. This was just sheer word of mouth and the marketing that the board in Maryland has put out on this thing. And I mean, it was heartwarming to see this community support this store in droves as they did. Usually when I finish a store, a couple of good handshakes and, good luck, and we'll follow up on this thing. As Marilyn mentioned, I don't remember ever getting, hugs like this and the throngs of hugs that came in. It's a wonderful community event, and it's a model that I believe the nation's going to take a look at from this particular cooperative model point and make some adjustments on to get it into other needy places.
And the important thing to remember is it's open to everybody's invited.
So you don't have to be a member?
Not at all. The share owner, the co-op model of incorporation was a legal way for a vehicle for people to put our money together for a common goal, which is to put the grocery in the grocery store. So a share is $200. It's a one-time payment or $25 every quarter for 2 years, whichever works for you. And then you can make share owner loans, and those count as equity against a bank loan from National Co-op Bank or Shared Cooperative Capital, and then Finance Fund, are three banking sources. But the actual grocery store is open to everybody. We want everybody to come. It belongs to everybody. And so our gala opening festivities tried to reinforce that. Thursday night we had a scavenger hunt around the store for kids, so kids know where the good stuff is. We had a scavenger hunt and live music and dancing in the cafe area. The scavenger hunt for Kids at Heart was where's the beer, where's the brie, where's the shrimp. And then Saturday morning we had a parade. We had a marching band that took us all. Everybody lined up with behind the marching band with carts with kids and balloons. And then everybody else followed behind like a New Orleans kind of parade, and we went around the whole inside of the store and then cut the ribbons. We had caution tape in the produce department because we've seen enough of it.
Chris was protecting his produce. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking about your members. You have 1,500 people who own shares and share owners. What are the benefits? What do you get for being a share owner?
Well,
there's the more you shop, the more patronage dividends you get back. It's kind of a program where, you, as an owner, you share in the profits. At the end of the year, the board will vote on the percentage rate based on profits that the owners will get back. That will vary from year to year. And we're looking at the first few years, it's probably going to be lower, just given, you know, we're going to be paying back our loans and paying off equipment and things like that. But you know, as years go by, that's money that you're going to get back at the end of the year just for shopping, which is something you do anyway, which you can either get in terms of cash or back, or you gift cards to the store, or we're thinking of donations to certain charities that people pick. There's also a number of stores and restaurants around the city that have that they're partnering with us to give discounts to folks that come in and show their owner card. We have a market rewards card that owners are currently getting that they can show around town that will get you 10% off or free chips at like Habanero, things like that. You know, there's a lot of different folks out there that believed in the project, and they were putting their business name behind it and wanted to help in certain ways. So
okay. So, Marilyn, what's the address?
319 Ludlow. It's across from the Esquire.
Okay. So, what's the history of this site? This was originally Keller's IGA for a number of years, right?
Originally, in 1929 to 39, it was an A&P. 1939 to 2011, it was Keller's IGA. And then it was Gessling, and then it's been Clifton Market. We bought the building in 2015. We felt it was critical to buy the building, so it's not a pin in a map, that it can be a part of our sustainable model of grocery store for your grandchildren's grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do you think this will be successful when Keller's was not on that site?
Well, the thing with Keller's is they were a conventional store in a very conventional market. They also they opened another store out near Marymount that didn't do well. It was essentially siphoning off the profits from their store at Clifton. And it was always profitable. But, being a conventional store, competing against other conventional stores in this market, and then the store itself was actually deteriorating, and they weren't doing improvements to it that were necessary. We're an uptrend store, so the aesthetic of it is more like a Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or something. Just more it just looks more natural inside, and there's that aesthetic tends to lend to higher margin, higher profits. So we looked at that was an important part of how we designed the store is what would be the most profitable
And that's where Keith Wick's market analysis gave us great direction as to how to unfold as a full-service uptrend grocery store, utilizing the whole 23,000 square feet on the ground on the first floor, and we have 8,000 of storage in the basement.
Yeah, but just going back to the IGA too, and why it failed. They, they were, as I was saying, the profits were being siphoned off, and they were trying to make the ends meet. And in the end, it was trying to – they moved some taxes, things that were going to go to taxes around to paying employees, and it just didn't work out. The game just didn't work out, and they couldn't get enough in during that period. So the state ended up coming in and shutting them down.
It was the end of the recession, and the juggling act just got – too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't that people didn't love them. They were doing over $200,000 a week in sales when they were shut down by the state. And we actually tried to help ask the new governor at that point to do a payment arrangement with them, but he wouldn't do that. And, there were a lot of people caught in the unpleasantness of the recession. And so that was unfortunate, but I happened to stop there the afternoon, I think it was January 6th, 2011, the day it was closed down, and people were crying. I mean, they were standing outside the grocery store crying. And so, this joy that people have for the doors to be open, for being able to shop there, but even better, we've all done this together. And it's a beautiful, you know, it's a really amazing environment. The colors are vibrant and the food looks fantastic. I mean, it's just amazing. You're going to love it when you come.
Well, I'm going to want you to describe this more to me. We have to take a break here. And this has made it all worthwhile, hasn't it, Marilyn?
Yes.
Getting to this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We will continue our conversation about the recently opened Clifton Market. You can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Here to talk about the Clifton Market, our Clifton Market Produce Manager, Chris Payne, Chair of the Clifton Market Board and Vice President of the Clifton Business and Professional Association, Adam Hyland, Director of Marketing and Board Member for Clifton Market, Marilyn Hyland, and Grocery Market Analyst, Keith Wicks. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Marilyn, you're starting to talk about how the store looks. Now, you used the original building, correct?
And yes.
And just remodeled everything inside. This is 23,000 square feet, is that
yes,
what I heard?
Yes.
So describe the store. What's
well,
it
actually,
like?
When you walk in, you see the you'll notice that the ceilings are higher because we got rid of the dropped ceilings. When you walk in the door, you see the original tin ceiling from the A&P from 1929. We actually negotiated with the previous owner to buy 19 skylights, and those are spread throughout the building. And then there's another place which was another addition to the grocery over the years, and we got rid of the dropped ceiling there and exposed the rafters. So it's got a very fresh, raw look to it. You know, people feel really smart to be there. And then Char and Simon Lyon are designers from Cincinnati, Chicago, and New York. They do wayfinding all over the world. They did the Bengals Stadium and so forth. They are the interior designers who chose the vibrant colors, and they're responsible for the interior and exterior signage, and it's gorgeous. And then to make it look even better, the produce and all of the products, the bakery, the meats, because that's the difference between us and Trader Joe's and so forth. We have fresh seafood. We have a butcher. We have fresh bakery, but I'll let Chris talk about this.
You know what I really like about that store, and I don't know how familiar you are with being up on Ludlow and passing that store up, but you look outside, it looks like a tiny, tiny market. Like you look at the front of it, and I think no way that could be that big. And you walk inside, and it's 23,000 square feet. I mean, it just opens up, and it's kind of almost like a trick.
Yeah.
And you get in there, and it's like, wow, look at all this space, and it's
put together. How does that compare to a typical chain? 23,000 square feet, is that it?
They vary. I mean, it's going to vary depending on the chain too. You know, like I believe that Earth Fare was a lot of theirs are a little smaller. But then you get Whole Foods, and they can vary from that size and even bigger.
The larger conventional stores, you're like 80 to 100,000, but you know, the size of between 20 to 35,000 is actually trending in the country right now. Just these more walkable neighborhood markets, and that's a model that's actually expanding in the country.
The hottest, growing market.
Yeah, Chris, talk about some more about products, the things that you can get there. Marilyn was starting to run down the list. What can you get at Clifton Market?
The question is, what can't you get?
What can't you get?
I mean, in produce alone, I mean, I try to bring in as much as I can, but you want to bring in things that people really want also. You know, you got to have, like, of course, you got to have your bananas. You got to have your, like, this time of year, citrus is a really big deal. I carry a lot of citrus. I mean, they carry a lot of things. I mean, I've worked in a lot of, you know, like more all natural, you know, organic kind of stores. But we carry kind of a good mixture of both. I believe we're a good hybrid, as I think Keith said earlier. Mm-hmm. But in my area, when you walk in, it's there. It's in your face, and I feel like that's how produce should be. It should be the first thing you see. We're the headline. We're there. We're there to help you out any way we can, and hope you have a good time while you're there. Everybody that comes in is our neighborhood people. This is Cincinnati store. You know what I mean?
We wanted this to be. We wanted that mix to be there for everyone, because from the beginning we wanted this to be a store for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had decided on a number of things. You know, like what were the goals when we started working on this project? And it was one of the main things was to create an economically sustainable grocery store for the foreseeable future. You know, the second one was basically, you know, we want a store that is for the community. It's been for the community there since 1929. Let's continue that tradition. It also was the economic engine for the business district. So how do we, you know, how do we turn that on as fast as possible for the other families that have invested in the Clifton business district, you know, and their, you know, their families are relying on that business. You know, we've got Ludlow Wines up the street that, you know, they sell beer and wine. IGA sold beer and wine. IGA sold a lot of beer and wine. In fact, they sold about between 17 and 19%. And the year that closed, the year after that closed, Mike at Ludlow Wines' sales dropped 38% because of the foot traffic. So we know it's you know, even though they're selling similar products, you're looking at, you know, a rising tide rises all boats at this point. We want to drive the foot traffic back down the street. We need that economic engine, you know, the anchor store back in the business district. So we
intend to take the lead in cross promotion with the other shops and restaurants on Ludlow. And Keith projects that the store will attract 15,000 people a week to the store and thereby to Ludlow Avenue, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. We're there to compliment people.
Yes.
Compliment to
it's you know, everybody dances.
It's more than a grocery store is what it sounds like.
It's a social node for the neighborhood and the surrounding community as well. I mean, it's a place to see and talk to your neighbors. I mean, we deliberately designed it so the cafe is right there when you walk in the front door. So you increase the chances of intersecting with your neighbors and friends and making acquaintances while you're at the store. We when you walk in the door, I always call that view zero. And that was, I wanted that view when you walk in the store to tell the mission statement of who we are. And really, you know, you're going to see right in front of you the cafe area. We're waiting for the tables to be shipped in, but they'll be here soon.
It's still a work in progress.
We're still in the soft opening period.
But the area is there.
It is there.
It's there.
You can
That's
hang out.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
talk to people. And people are already hanging out in that area, you know, saying hi to their neighbors. But, you know, to your right, you're going to see the checkouts where people are, you know, the commerce of the entity, you know, and people coming and going. You're going to see the baked, you know, the Clifton artisanal breads, which, you know, we have great partners in that. You know, Breadsmith, Shadow, you know, and amazing pastries there. And you also see the fantastic produce department right there that Chris is doing. I mean,
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And how much of the food is locally sourced?
We're looking to have about 15%.
Yeah, and that will vary depending on the time of year, too. So, you know, being that it's January, you can only source so much local or, you know, produce.
We have a little bit, but through the company that I use, it'll say if it's local, and I do have some local over there right now. But when it gets to be in the springtime, like I said earlier, I believe it'll go up. We'll have more.
Yeah, I know. So. I know we have just 15 local vendors alone that you know, are supplying numerous products throughout the store. And that's not just, you know, it's not just the produce department. That's where we want to have a local
soaps.
Emphasis on. Yeah.
Yeah. Groceries. I mean, I believe she's been carrying, Sarah's been carrying quite a bit. She's been talking to a lot of people too about getting it in the door. So she's been really on top of that.
I'd like to add that I think one of the real important attractions in this store is that on our vision and in support by our general manager who we were so fortunate to get, Mr. Keith Brock, is handcrafted product. When you get to the delis, when you get to the oven-ready products in the service meat department, service seafood department, when you get to our bakery, we have truly handcrafted in-store made or locally fresh made. And that we decided that the business model had to have difference-making attractions, and that's clearly it, compared to today's industry trend with a lot of centrally sourced product. So I'm proud of them for doing it the old way.
Keith, what would be the typical profit margin for a neighborhood grocery store? Is it tough to make a profit in that area?
if you stick to the old conventional model, it's pretty challenging. You know, call it the old IGA way. And you're battling it out for pricing on, you know, a branded can of green beans and, you know, the local loaf and milk and all of that. The difference-making factor becomes what you do with the perimeter area. That's what distinguishes you from others, and ours is, you'll clearly see that walking into the store, and it's only going to get better in that way. So to answer your question, if you were in a baseline conventional model, you might struggle to make a couple points in profit at the end of the day. In this one here, we're looking at twice that factor and to build it upon that, and it's going to be a learning curve to get there. But the numbers that are coming out right now are pleasantly surprising right out of the chute, and I'm confident that this group is not only going to achieve the performance forecasts that were there, but beat it.
Yeah, Keith,
he's just too supportive.
Keith, you often hear the term food desert. I'm just wondering how much this type of model, the co-op, whether it's a hybrid or the traditional type of co-op, is this a good way to deal with the issue of food deserts?
It's a wonderful way because, you know, as we all know, the majors have gone to big box structures, formats in that. And what that does is cause more in-between seams. But conversely, it opens up a lot of opportunities for it. It creates food deserts, but also opportunities for these types of stores. And in this case, it's one thing to find a food desert and bring service there locally and tailor that into that demand. I'll say this in the way for Clifton Market, it's one of the most dense opportunistic situations I've come across, not just in the residential urban area that we're serving, which is quite tight comparatively, about a mile and a half. We're going to stretch out further with the special attractions that we got, but you look at a primary market in that way. And this one is just something special because the daytime sector in this is almost equal to the density of the residential. So it's a fabulous opportunity to establish this new business in and continue to grow into the success that's really possible here.
513-419-7100. Mark in Blue Ash joins us now. Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment that I don't live in the area. I live in Blue Ash, of course. And but my wife and I frequent the area to go to the Esquire. And this is interesting. You mentioned Ludlow Wine, but it's one of our favorite places. But the point I want to make is that we bought a couple shares. And the other day, I had the opportunity to go into the market. That was probably one evening when I went to the Esquire. And I was really impressed, not only impressed, but surprised at the way you've approached this. I had never been to Keller's and probably would have never shopped there, but I believe that the Clifton Market is a place that would actually be a destination for me. I would actually go out of my way to go there. So you did a great job.
Great.
Thanks for doing all that. And
thank you.
I just want to say hi to Adam and Marilyn. My son went to school with their son. So I actually might have gone to school with Adam. But anyway,
I am the son. Marilyn is my mother. So yeah.
I know that. Good luck.
Thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate it. Marilyn, do you have a lot of outside support, or are the members, are they strictly people from the community, or you have people like Mark?
No, we have people from all over the metro area, even all over the world. But I really do believe that a 15-minute drive time circle is a perfectly reasonable target market for this grocery store, as it is for the Esquire as well. And has been, So I think that the idea that you can have fun, we were dancing in the aisles the other night.
Yeah, and we're looking to include, lecture series too on healthy eating and cooking classes and, doing all different kinds of programs, even maybe tours of local farms that are supplying us, so you get to go and actually meet the farmers or meet the food that you're gonna that's gonna end up on your plate.
So you know where your food really comes from.
Exactly.
Like a lot of people nowadays. Yeah.
So we want to really
wine tastings and cheese tastings.
Yeah. We want it to be an interactive environment. We want people to like you're saying, be a destination for all of Cincinnati. This was not done just for Clifton. This was done for all of Cincinnati. And, we're looking – we have people from all over the city already coming to the store. And we invite everyone to come check it out because it's really a grocery experience not like any other that you're going to find in the city. And, we're going to be constantly evolving and as the years come
and be fun.
Yeah, and it'll be a fun environment. We want to partner with other businesses in the Cincinnati area too. The brewery district. We've partnered with the Brewing Heritage Trail for our beer cave. So we're going to incorporate some of the history of the Brewing Heritage Trail into the beer cave, and then help promote their tours and things like that. And we want to bring in all of Cincinnati into the store to promote good things that are happening here.
How many employees?
81.
81 employees.
Yeah.
Wow. And as far as hours for the store, Marilyn, what would those be?
7 a.m. to midnight every day except Christmas.
Okay. What are your benchmarks going to be? I mean, how will you know if this effort's successful as you go along?
Because Keith knows, what are the sales per week is the number one benchmark. I think the amount of fun people are having, is a critical piece that differentiates us from just going to get, what you need for supper. I think that the sales in terms of the prepared foods and the made from scratch products that Keith Brock, our GM, excels at.
And this is a more personal one, is just I know a lot of families in the area didn't like driving all over town looking for groceries. And so increased time at home, increased time with family, the increased ability to just walk to a grocery store. I mean, that's, it was, a healthier lifestyle for a lot of folks. And I don't know how we're going to meet it, how we're going to quantify that benchmark, but, a healthier community in general.
Well, it's funny because I always said, I've just been saying through this whole thing, my baby food came from Keller's. Our children's baby food came from 319 Ludlow. And I want our grandchildren's baby food to come from Clifton Market.
Well, Adam's
first purchase the other day.
I bought baby food for my daughter who was,
who was born December 29th.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's yeah.
There you go, Marilyn. It's generational.
Exactly. And Henry's 2.5, so we made it.
Yeah. Well, Keith, Adam, Marilyn, and Chris, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Clifton Market Produce Manager Chris Payne, Chair of the Clifton Market Board and Vice President of the Clifton Business and Professional Association, Adam Hyland, Director of Marketing and Board Member for Clifton Market, Marilyn Hyland, and Grocery Market Analyst Keith Wicks. Coming up, we'll talk with the creators of a graphic novel that takes place in the pipes and tunnels of the Metropolitan Sewer District. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.